That's
okay, we're going to move on to 8E, discussion, direction, and possible action regarding the resolution declaring the Board of Supervisors' intent to vacate Shasta Way, east of the community of Mount Shasta. Good morning, Haley.
Hello, good morning. Haley Lane, Planning Director. So just as a quick recap in regards to this project, back at the December 10th Board of Supervisors meeting, staff brought this project forward in order to let the board determine whether or not to process the application in lines with Streets and Highway Code 8355. The board gave staff direction to ultimately process the application, and so staff went forward and took the project to Planning Commission at the February 19th, 2025 Planning Commission meeting date, and the Planning Commission recommended that the project does conform to the general plan. And so the next steps in this process is why we're all here today, and that is for the board to consider to pass a resolution of an intent to vacate. This is in line with Streets and Highway Code, and so the meaning of that is to set a public hearing to discuss the matter and the other additional findings that have to be made in order for the road abandonment to proceed. Staff's received a lot of public comment letters related to this project, both in support and in opposition. And should the board move forward with setting the public hearing, staff is recommending that the public hearing be set either at the May 6th for the May 20th Board of Supervisors dates. And just one last thing, based on the public comments, we've received some concern regarding the California Environmental Quality Act analysis that's been done on this project. Should the board move forward with this project, should it be approved as a road abandonment, Mr. Briggs would need to apply for a CUP to construct and place the solar array. And so staff's intent initially was to handle most of the CEQA analysis there at the project phase. But project concerns have come up. So since you all have heard this project, one of the adjoining neighboring property owners, Olga Schwartz, has constructed a driveway, and so that would now need to be considered in how to handle this road abandonment project. So the board could potentially send it back to Planning Commission for more consideration. But again, at this time, staff is recommending the intent to vacate and set the hearing. And then with that, those are my comments. So happy to answer any questions.
Let's go to public comment first. I have two blue cards. Richard Montoya.
Well, thank you for letting me speak today. I just want to reiterate a few comments I made.
Sir, we need your name for the record.
Richard Montoya.
Thank you.
Sorry. We have an all-volunteer board, water board, that provides water at cost. And our objective here is to put a solar array for our power, which is about 50% of our operating costs per year. So the rising costs in power and cost to replace faulty equipment that ages out, this is kind of a necessity to keep our costs down. And as far as this opposition goes, I have to question the validity of a lot of their comments in their letters. We see false names, false addresses, and just innuendos that don't make any sense whatsoever. I could go on, but this is just for the approval of the abandonment today, and I encourage you all to vote in favor. Thanks.
Thanks, sir. And Edward Briggs, please.
Thank you.
morning, honorable board members. My name is Gaylord Briggs. I reside at 108 Shasta Way in Mount Shasta. My property adjoins the subject parcel that is being considered for vacating. I'll say up front, I support this vacating. I have since the inception of it. Recently, there have been some objections raised over the vacating of the Shasta Way segment, stating that it's necessary to provide a secondary emergency egress from the subdivision in case of a fire emergency or some other calamity. I have stated it before, and I have stated again, the dead-end segment of Shasta Way and the undeveloped strip previously known as the Old Monroe Drive location, which is undeveloped, it has no legal access out to any developed road. It's the road to nowhere. Even if it were possible to be developed into a drivable strip, for example, it would be vastly inferior to the existing developed roads that are entering and exiting the subdivision currently. Comments from former Cal Fire personnel said the resulting route would be narrow, one lane, lined with heavy brush on both sides, making it extremely hazardous to use, particularly in a fire emergency. Lotus Lane, a double-lane paved road, is the only current exit road out to McLeod Avenue in Shasta Acres from the Monte Shasta subdivision. An informal traffic study was performed in the past, and it revealed that traveling at 10 miles an hour, a vehicle could exit the farthest point of the Monte Shasta subdivision to McLeod Avenue in under 5 minutes. Both lanes could be utilized during an emergency egress. There are 45 occupied residents in the subdivision. Assuming 2 vehicles per residence, this is generous. If all 90 vehicles were to leave at once in an orderly fashion, the entire subdivision could be evacuated in less than 10 minutes. The problem isn't evacuating the Monte Shasta subdivision. The bottleneck would be McLeod Avenue and the town of Mount Shasta, as more vehicles from other locations join the flow down McLeod Avenue. So the subject road segment under consideration to be vacated would provide no benefit as an additional emergency egress. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody online?
Showing none online.
Come to the board.
I'll go since this is in my district and something I've been dealing with for far too long, quite honestly. Nothing worse than getting what I think is a great project, unintended consequences. I think for me, the fire danger issue is secondary to just what are we trying to do. It's a project that has a public benefit of some sort. I'm going to break it down into just what I think is straightforward for me. You have a neighbor that's willing, and you have 3 neighbors that say no. And I'm talking about right there. And to me, the people that are saying no outside the area, I don't put a whole lot of credence on that because I don't recognize things, but I do recognize the people that are most likely affected. I think this is still a good project. I think we need to find a better location for it. Road abandonment, I thought was going to be straightforward. I know I worked far too long with trying to find the loophole to do it. And I think when we talk about, we start adding CEQA, all the other factors that go in, this is just taking up, for me, far too much county staff time. I think this project was denied initially by the Planning Commission, came before the board, and I think I bought myself into a corner. So at this point, you know, I think we need to take a step back and not move forward with this, come up with a plan B of some sort. And what that is, I don't know, but I do have alternative ideas. So at this point, I apologize to my constituents there that I know do support this. At the end of the day, you know, the people that are most affected are the neighbors right next door, next to it. three corners of it that said no. And I'll use the Mrs. LeGros, who I know from church, who gave me some insight. And again, my initial with this project was that there was widespread community support. Okay, but the three neighbors that are living with it are not. So that's I'm stuck in the middle. So I cannot, in good conscience, move forward with this. Thank you.
I supported this initially when it came before us. There were abandonment a month or so ago. From my standpoint, it looked like a really good community project that supported the general good and shifted the power supply over to some green energy and a cost-saving measure by the water department that I think everybody would have been happy with. Things have changed. So at this point, I'm deferring to my supervisor to the right here. It is his district, and I'm going to follow his lead.
I'm kind of the same sentiment. With this being Supervisor Valenzuela's district and representative of the people that live there, I'm inclined to support his position.
And along that same nature, it's unfortunate, but as you can see, the opposition that's coming forward and driving to a CEQA or an EIR document is going to be far too costly. So there's got to be a better plan B. I don't know what else to say because it's a great project up front, but like you say, the opposition that's coming forward is going to be too costly. So we've got to figure out a different.
I would agree with my colleagues. What seemed like a really great opportunity to do good work there has turned into kind of a mess. And as much as we have seen this community try to work together, there are some pieces to this that need to be looked at a little bit differently. So maybe this is an opportunity to kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit and reevaluate what needs to happen there.
Well, I would say this, what I thought was going to be a straightforward,
right.
This, again, when we looked at this road abandonment, is that a dead end? There's not going to be another access out. That's a secondary issue. And, oh, by the way, there's plenty of fire danger up there. Yes, the people need to do their own masticating, and I need to find someone to be on the Mount Shasta Fire Protection District Board so we can start planning and how we're going to deal with that kind of thing. But a simple road abandonment has morphed into something far bigger than what it should be. And, I want to thank staff for putting as much time and effort into it. But I think this is opening up a Pandora's box for me. What's it going to cost to do an EIR? Because, that's the next step. Someone's going to demand that. And, again, I want to apologize to my fellow colleagues here that I brought something forward that I thought would be just straightforward, simple. But at the end of the day, I got to narrow it down to, what it's going to take with the opposition. And for me, again, I'm going to say the three out of four neighbors saying no. So, and I, again, apologize to my constituents for trying to get something done that, in retrospect, I should have said, I tried, I didn't get there. So with that, I don't know what the next step is. Where's
yeah. However, through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator, we do have a hand that was raised during comment time when the board was commenting.
Okay. Let's read the online comment.
All right, you should be unmuted.
Hello?
There
we go. Hello, online.
Hi, this is. Oh, yeah, hi, this is Attorney Allison Margolin. Just wanted to address this issue just for a few minutes, less than three, if that's okay. And we're just, on behalf of some of the residents that are in this area, we're urging you, of course, to set this for further discussion and vacate this issue of the abandoned road and the proposed solar that would accompany it. It's also our position that this needs a far more review, that it would not be exempt from CEQA, and that many of the residents nearby are quite concerned about the environmental impacts of having an 800-foot-long, 11-foot-high industrial-scale solar array that I know would be proposed if the road was abandoned. And the residents are also, as others have expressed, quite concerned about the fire risk, and that's already been addressed in detail by one of the prior speakers, and we would echo that concern. We're also concerned about the erosion runoff issues from the slope installation site, for which no mitigation plans have been presented, as well as the alteration of the residential character and potential aesthetic degradation and obstruction of significant public scenic vistas. So we ask the court to reject the resolution declaring the intent to vacate Shasta Way and the alternative. The board should direct the Planning Commission to perform a comprehensive environmental analysis consistent with CEQA before any further consideration is given. And thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Any other online comments?
Showing none online.
Thank you.
Amy, were you going to say something?
I was just going to stand up for any follow-up comments or anything, questions.
So,
if you don't move forward, you just let this drop.
Yeah.
Right. So, with that, if we don't move forward, if we choose, what council, maybe you can help us with our choices at this point.
At this point, Natalie Reed County Council, at this point, it sounds like the board under the code is electing not to initiate proceedings for road abandonment upon the request of an interested person, which is at the discretion of the board. So, I believe that direction will be provided to county staff.
Yeah, William Carroll, Assistant County Counsel, under Streets and Highways Code 8320, as Ms. Reed just quoted, setting a hearing upon request of a person is at the discretion of the board. The board has stated reasons why it may exercise its discretion and not set a hearing. If it chooses not to set a hearing, if there's no motion to set the hearing, then the item will die and that will essentially cancel the road abandonment project. So if nobody moves to set a hearing, then that will be taken as the board exercising its discretion not to set a hearing and not move forward.
Question. So, with regard to if this were to go forward and CEQA or an EIR were required, who picks up the dime on that? The water district?
Right, so the county owns the property, so typically property owners are on the hook for paying with the CEQA analysis that occurs, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And how long would that analysis take?
So you know, MNDs typically, right, 4 to 6 months. EIRs, there's additional steps to be taken, so that's, you know, 9 months to a year out. Very costly, right? MNDs, we've been getting quotes for other, you know, projects, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 EIRs, they're in,
100,000 start.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And another year.
Yeah.
So I know for me, part of that is the unintended consequence of that. You know, again, apologizing to the staff for opening up a can of worms, but maybe we take some learning lessons out of this. And just because we're not moving forward doesn't mean I'm still open to a project. You know, solar, I mean, the costs are going. I mean, we do have a power authority. You know, I mean, I would have always long thought we should. County itself should try to look at how we can utilize that. I think the project itself had, to me, made perfect sense. I think just we picked the wrong spot for it at this moment in time. Again, with the unintended consequences, when three neighbors are saying no, with the now that we got to do a CEPA, now the cost is associated with it. Anyways,
yep.
So that's where I framed where I am with that at this moment in time. And since it is my district, I'm not going to make a motion to move forward.
Thank you. With that,
you can call for a motion, but nothing happens.
I'm getting there. I will call for that motion. I hear nothing. Which means we will take no action. Thank you. Moving on to 8F with your
Angela Davis, County Administrator. For item 8F, we are pulling this item and postponing to a future date. Uncertain at this time, but the goal is to have it in May. But we'll just work with Wendy on the questies.
Okay, I do have a question. If it's pulled and continued to a future date, it probably will not have to go back through the Questis review process. If we actually just pull it and drop it, it'll start over. So what is the board's preference? I mean,
We would need to pull and drop because there are amendments that will possibly be made.
So it needs to go back through review. Okay.
Yes.
Pull and drop from agenda.
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you. Going on to 8G, Public Works, presentation of an update on the Copco Road project. Mr. Dean.
Good morning, Board. Tom Dean, Director of Public Works. I'm just here to give you a quick update on what we're thinking of for the schedule of the beginning of the repair for Copco Road. So we have received our funds of over $3 million to start the repair work. The repair is going to take approximately 3 years. We're going to do it over 3 construction seasons. With this, starting this fiscal year, the first 5 miles, which will take us from the start to the old hatchery location, right where the Bailey Bridge is now. We're looking at this year in July, we will start doing ditch repair and making sure all those culverts are cleaned out, because it does not make any sense to repair the road if it's going to suffer further water damage, which was a small but measurable portion of the damage that has occurred on that road. Also, while doing ditch repair, we're going to do dig outs. So anywhere where you see the pavement heaved up, where it's farrowed into a little road, we're going to dig that out, put new base in, and roll it down flat. The part that everybody's looking forward to will be the asphalt job that's coming. We are going to run 3 inches deep, both lanes, for both those 5 miles. We will do it in a way where we do, we'll run half the distance that we're going to go for the day in one lane, and then run the other lane that same day to ease traffic control and emergency egress in case that needs to happen. We're looking at putting down very close to 12,000 ton on the road this year of asphalt, which is going to be about 197 truck and pup loads. It will be the largest paving project that I know of that the county's done in-house. To help mitigate any risk that we have during the project. So the nightmare scenario is you get your asphalt there and your paver breaks down, because that asphalt needs to go down when it's there. We'll have our new paver that we bought specifically with this project in mind on point. Also, the backup paver is being gone through right now to make sure it's in running order. So if I do have a mechanical issue, I can pull one machine off the road, get the other one on the road, and start addressing what the problem was. We're looking at, to get full 5 miles, it's probably going to take 20 days of paving. And with that, oh, you guys probably want to even know what we're going to do in year 2 and 3. Year 2, we'll pick up right there where the old hatchery is and run just past the Horseshoe Recreation sign, which would be by where the second boat ramp was. And then the 3rd year will take us from there to the hatchery deck. Now that leaves a couple of miles that won't be done. Those are still in the plan, but I need to see where we're stacking up distance-wise in year 2 and year 3. Those last 2 miles of road have been derelict for a very long time. And before I open it up for questions, there might be a question on why we're choosing to do it this way. The number one thing is cost, right? We're going to get a drivable surface that will last a long time with a 3-inch overlay. And also, it is very similar to how the original road was laid out. When that original road was constructed, some of those failure points are because the base wasn't installed properly. but there are sections of that road that have held up relatively well. That's why we do not think it's necessary to grind that whole road up and start over. It would be a huge expense, and without the heavy vehicle traffic, without dam removal, I believe it would be unnecessary. Any questions? I know there's questions.
The only question I have, and it's because I understand the staffing issue, is during this time, because it's such a big project, what is the plan for any sort of continued maintenance, you know, issues with roads arise during the project? Do you already have that lined out so that something happens while you have...
So, Supervisor Harris, your question isn't... So your question also reminds me of an answer I haven't given yet. But I think your question is, what about the rest of the county when I have every single person pretty much on Cocco Road?
That's what I was trying to allude to.
Okay, that's a great question. We will have a regular maintenance crew, a couple of guys being able to do maintenance in every district. Right? If there is an emergency, the backup plan would be to pull the crews and dispatch out of central shop. So if we had a landslide or a major break, we would pull the guys that we needed and limit the trucks for that day and go address that problem, and then we would run longer during the construction period.
Perfect, thank you. Supervisor Howe.
Can you repeat what your three was, the terminus of that?
Yes, the new hatchery paved deck.
To where?
The new hatchery paved deck. Paved that deck will be the end of year three.
Okay. And then... do you have a projected start date?
We will start pulling ditches in July. We're still, and that's when we're going to start the ditches and the digouts. We will probably start paving in September or October, but I will come back to the board once we've got everything nailed down, because we're buying a lot of asphalt and there's a lot of moving pieces on a project this side. Okay. And I will give a start and an end.
And then you may be doing this, but I have to ask, are you coordinating with our ranch and their activities?
I have not started to do that yet, but I will. I will reach out to them and talk to them both during the dig-out phase and let them know when the paving is.
Okay. And then I don't know what the communication has been with OES on this project and EMS services for the Humber Fire Department.
So we will, before paving starts, we do notify CAL FIRE dispatch and tell them the situation that we have. But the plan is to always have one lane open. So it's going to be fire season. That's something that we have to keep in mind.
Right.
So if we need to, we will be able to evacuate.
Who does our fire inspections on this project? Todd Asphalt. I'm just asking the question.
Well, typically with the shoulders being pulled, I don't know that we've done one in the past, but I'll look into it. We've got water trucks out there as well.
Yeah.
But I'll find out specifically what we need to do for a project.
Yeah, I just don't know what the coordination is with CAL FIRE. But cover that base, please.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Kind of answered my question about the base. That's been one of my concerns from the beginning. Is that, bless you. That road was not built very well to begin with, and there are places there that concern me that 3 inches is not going to be sufficient to maintain a decent road for any length of time.
I understand your concern. There's another way of looking at it, though. So this road has been stress tested far beyond whatever it was designed for. The sections that haven't broke are not going to break. So we will be able to dig and replace base where needed to shore those sections up. And 3 inches of asphalt, it's a lot of asphalt. If we continue to have light vehicle traffic on that road, there's no reason to believe that this road won't hold up for years to come. In fact, the only problems that I see for this road down the future or perhaps bank destabilization from the water removal. But the surface will be better than what we started.
It'll look pretty for a while.
It'll look pretty for a long while. I think I have one more comment, but I can't remember what it is now. So.
Yeah, I just had I know you know this, but there's a lot of eyes on this and the county's success on this. So whatever we can do with Allie, with public involvement, I really appreciate it. I'm already getting bombarded with emails and text messages and everything else about this impending project.
Understood. And from some past experience, I will leverage getting the message out soon. So if there is a change, it doesn't catch anybody by surprise.
Okay. Let's pray we don't have a fire.
I pray for that every year.
Especially during this project.
Yes, sir.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah, just real quick. Maybe this is one of the silver linings of it. You're doing this massive project in-house. Maybe that's something that we can look forward to doing in the future, knowing that funding and all the costs associated with trying to find funding for road projects, maybe we get outside of our little comfort zone and do a little bit more countywide doing this kind of projects.
I would like to see that going forward because we leave money on the table.
Thank you.
Hopefully fuel prices will go down in that 3-year period as well. That will save you some dollars, right?
Absolutely, because when fuel prices drop, asphalt prices drop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you having to pull asphalt out of Central Point this year?
That's the idea, is to pull it out of there. The problem is not really a problem, but we might have to, it's going to come down to price, right? Loaded price per ton. And also how much asphalt we can get out of the plant one day, because we're asking for a lot. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Wendy, are you good?
This would be me. Basically, we have two regular board meetings in November, the 4th and the 11th, but the 11th is the Veterans Day holiday, and we will not be operational. Do we want to cancel the November 11th meeting or move and make another regular meeting, say, on the 18th. I believe Thanksgiving is the week after that.
So I think for me, typically when this comes up, I think we just cancel it. And if we need a meeting, we can always schedule a special meeting for whatever it would be. So I would make a motion to cancel it.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Call for vote.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Thank you much.
Okay, moving on. We are going to recess as Assistant County Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Do we have a public comment?
Showing none online.
Okay, thank you. Nothing in the room. And consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Sorry.
Can you call for vote?
Alrighty. Director Valenzuela.
He's still
we'll wait.
Okay. Start at the other end.
That's okay. We'll start. There he is. Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Thank you. Director Howe.
Aye.
Director Harris.
Aye.
Director Kopseff.
Aye.
And Director Ogren.
Aye. Flood Control, Conservation, Natural Resources, appointments to fill the following positions. Wendy?
Okay, yes, this is me again. Let's see here. This is something that is annually done to fill any vacant positions on various the Groundwater Basin Advisory Committees. This year it is the Butte Valley Groundwater Advisory Committee. They had three positions available, private pumper, tribal, and environmental/conservation. But at this point, we only had one person interested, and that's a Mr. John Bennett in the private pumper position. If you could appoint him, that would be great.
I'll make a motion to appoint John Bennett.
Second.
Call for vote.
All righty. Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
Director Kopp?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopseth?
Aye.
And Director Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you. And minute approval, I had no changes to those either.
Move to approve.
Second.
Director Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopseth?
Aye.
And Director Ogren?
Aye. Okay, we will adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene as Assistant Power Authority. Do we have any public comment in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Okay, minute approval.
And no corrections on those either.
Move to approve.
Second.
Vote.
Okay. Let's see. Director Valenzuela?
Aye.
Director Howe?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopseth?
Aye.
And Director Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
We will adjourn as the Assistant Power Authority and reconvene as the. Who are we? We are the Board of Supervisors. We have a minute approval.
And I've received no corrections on those either.
Approved.
Second.
All
righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. We are moving on to item 12. We have a public hearing for community development. And this will be for the Siskiyou County General Plan Visioning Statement and Guiding Principles. We open the hearing and hear from Ms. Haley Lane.
Thank you. Haley Lane, Planning Director. So before you today, staff has a set of finalized guiding principles and a visioning statement. Planning Commission held a special meeting back in March, on March 5th, to go over multiple sets of visioning statements and guiding principles. And so the Planning Commission and many, many members of the public showed up, and there was a full vetting process with the visioning statement and the guiding principles. And so that is the vision that's before you all today. Staff really wanted to have a set of just concise, general guiding principles that would help guide the development of the general plan and just help guide development within Siskiyou County. And so, we hope that this is something that the board would like to move forward with. So we are hoping for an approval today. Also, in terms of process, wordsmithing, things like that, you could wordsmith this up until the adoption of the general plan. So if there's something that, you notice as we go through the process, this isn't a set in stone piece. We just want a general consensus right now of, what's stated in the statement and the guiding principles. So we're able to move forward. The consultant team's essentially kind of on hold right now. Because we want a direction to move forward, and before we start, diving into the streamlining of the zoning code and the creation of the general plan elements. So those are my comments, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay, let's move forward with presentation of correspondence.
I've received none at the clerk's level.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff. Any other county departments or public agencies? None. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comments. We have two in the room. Mike Thomas? Oh no, sorry, those are for JH. No. Any online?
Showing none online.
Okay, rebuttal by proponents. Any online?
Showing none online.
Okay, rebuttal by opponents. Any? We're going to close the hearing. Do we have to do this again?
No.
Okay.
We can close
the hearing. And discussion by the board.
Well, I commend you for moving forward with something like this. I mean, I think far too often, you have things that are haven't been revisited or whatever. for me, and this is just me on my soapbox, it's always disappointing there's not the public involvement on this. It's really unfortunate because we need public involvement. And having said that, thank you for moving forward.
Yeah, just too bad the public's not engaged enough. I mean, it's disappointing when I'm the only one at a public meeting.
That's a good one.
You're right, we can wordsmith this. Looking at the vision statement, I do have one comment. Mm-hmm. It says diversifying and expanding business opportunities based on agriculture, dental, resource economy, outdoor recreation, and local tourism. We already do that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not diversifying anything.
Mm-hmm.
I would like in our future to embrace new industries as well to diversify our economy and make us more sustainable. That's my 2 cents.
Two originaries?
I'm looking for it, but and I don't know how to address it, because
okay.
I think it should be included.
Okay.
We talk about private property rights,
mm-hmm.
but we don't talk about, and I don't know what the positive phrase would be to say this, but land is not for sale to the state and federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's eating up our tax base, even through, conservation easements from wildlife, the WCB. It's got to stop. So I don't know how you phrase that in here. Yes, we encourage private property rights, but we need to be alongside those landowners to help preserve that in some form. I'm not saying financially. I'm just saying give them the opportunity to be able to maintain that without having to sell to the state or the feds just to get out from the regulatory environment. So I don't know what the positive phrase is for that, but something to that effect.
We could say something to the degree of like continuing to support preservation of private property rights.
Yeah, something that to that.
Something in that same bullet point.
Something,
to add.
Yeah, something to that effect.
Okay.
We need to highlight that because
okay.
we're getting taken to the cleaners.
Yep. Okay.
And then there was one other one. Where is it? The first line in the vision statement strives to improve the lives of workers and visitors. I don't know that visitors fits. I mean, whatever we do would be an attraction to anybody coming from the outside, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you improve the life of the visitor.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
anyway.
We could. Okay. We can take that out.
Well, I was going to say, first and foremost, you are residents, our local residents.
Yeah.
Tourism is just a secondary beneficiary.
Yeah. And there is discussion of tourism in there, so we're going to take that out.
Yeah, and that's good.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. I know you've worked pretty hard on this, and as many public meetings as there have been, we never ever get enough participation. People will say all the time, well, I never knew about it. And of course, we try like crazy to make sure that information gets out to the public, and we still never get enough participation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's frustrating for all of us. So we do the best with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably the frustrating part is that the public will read this and they will always comment,
mm-hmm.
but they don't participate. So here we are trying to create something that fits what we think is our vision, may not be what the public envisions it. So, but we will continue to work and strive to do the right thing and move forward with what we think is the best vision.
Mm-hmm.
This pretty much embodies what we always do every day, and continue to move forward and do the best with what we have and what we're given, which changes from day to day and every 4 years to every 4 years. So I think you've done a really great job to try to embody what we believe in and what we strive for. So thanks for your hard work on this. Yeah.
Cool. I got one more on the vision statement.
Yep.
It says that working with tribal partners to support sustainable forest management practices. I don't know what that means. Is it trendy? Because we should be dealing with private land here, which is governed by the state forest practice rules.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about public lands, that's something different. So just throwing
yes.
it out there the way it is, I don't.
Yes,
I
so
don't know, I don't know where the traction is there.
How that came about is we received a lot of comments from the Karuk tribe, and how the whole special meeting thing came about is we had basically a version that the Karuk tribe heavily commented on, and Planning Commission liked a lot of the comments, you know, and edits that they had seen, and so we had held a special meeting so the tribe could be involved. They didn't participate because they had their own tribal meeting that day. We did have like 20 members of the public there, so that was good. But they, you know, the wish of the Planning Commission was to somehow incorporate kind of all of the comments that the tribe had entered in. And so they also wanted something to be a little bit more general and open-ended. And so that's why that wording is in place, because it kind of can mean anything, right?
Well, I know where it came from. I just don't know how we do it.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't approve anything.
Right.
As a county. Unless we're talking about the lands around Lake Siskiyou.
Yeah.
I have a problem with it. It's just meaningless to me.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, if we're doing stewardship of forest, I'm sure that applies.
Okay.
You know, but on the THT, I mean, we don't even engage THTs in private land.
We could rework something. We can maybe take that point out and then maybe add something about just continuing to work with tribal partners somewhere else in one of the other bullet points, just so it's there.
What I'm keying on, and I'm sorry, I'm a forest, but
nope.
I'm an RPF, and I'm keying on forest management practices, and we don't do any.
Right. Yes, sure.
So we can have tribal engagement in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
just
we'll reword it
as
in there.
As it relates
to
forest management
yep.
practices.
Because yep.
that's not our
be better.
Purview.
Yep.
Yeah, because we do have consultation requirements.
Yes.
For CEQA and other things that we do. But this is just one that we don't do.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can take that out and then just reword it to still have, you know, tribal engagement embedded in there.
And through the chair, Natalie Reed, County Council, if the board is going to be adopting these guiding principles today, then we would just want to get on the record what the amendments are that they are motioning to approve.
Any other changes, suggestions? No? Okay. Do you want to entertain a motion for the... Are we going to do the guiding principles and the vision statement at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Do you have a motion?
Move to approve with the amendments that we've identified. Mm-hmm. You want them specific?
So just to make sure we have clarity, that would the amendments would be on page one, first paragraph of the vision statement, removing the word visitors at the fourth bullet point where it says emphasizing private property rights.
We will, yes, add preservation, you know, continued support or preservation of private property rights. And then... with the bullet point working with tribal partners to support sustainable forest management practices that will be stricken out and reworded to read continued engagement and coordination with our tribal partners. And then lastly, the second bullet point, speaking to diversifying and expanding businesses, business opportunities, we will also add new industries in that bullet point as well.
New and emerging.
That was in my
new and emerging, yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
I'll second.
Okay, call for vote, Wendy.
Okay, make sure I have this here. Supervisor Haupt, you were the second, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty, and I made notes as to what Haley was talking about. All righty, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Copsett?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. Okay. With that, we will be moving on to the public.
Madam Chair,
yes.
This one might be lengthy,
it
do
might.
We think, with comments. I would ask for a break if it is going
to
be.
Ten minutes?
Sure.